This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. I don't know how good I am, Howard, because I have to officially announce that our family's Netflix subscription was cancelled at the end of last week.
What? What happened?
And yes. Well, what happened was that Netflix decided to put onto their platform this movie called Farha. This is a movie that is the work of a Jordanian director and is a movie which apparently depicts events in 1948 surrounding the Nakba, the so-called Nakba, which listeners might recall is the disaster, the way that the Arabs describe the independence of Israel in 1948. But the thing that really infuriated me about Netflix deciding to put this movie onto its platform is the fact that it has a 15-minute scene, I'm told, because I haven't seen the movie, it has a 15-minute scene which depicts IDF soldiers executing a family of refugees, including a baby. Hmm. Now, I know that when people make movies and watch movies, then it doesn't necessarily have to reflect anything in reality. Very often people like to watch movies in order to escape and to potentially look at something which is not depiction of reality. But this is a kind of docudrama sort of situation which is based upon something which is a fact in history, something that really happened in history. And the depiction of the IDF soldiers executing this family, I think, could not be further from the truth, when the rest of the surrounding facts, the rest of the surrounding movie, really attempts to try to portray a real situation. And that event, that scene, is couldn't be further from the truth, even if wanted to try and look for something. So I think that that's a very, very unfair depiction, and especially coming from Netflix, who really have gone out of their way to be as politically sensitive and politically correct as possible, and yet they find it appropriate to load a movie like Farha onto their platform. So the fact that some members of the family were in the middle of watching various seasons of series and things like that played no role at all. The cancellation was immediate and without any announcement whatsoever, because I don't feel that I'm going to be paying Netflix one more shekel when this is the kind of treatment that they dish out. This is their political sensitivity. This is a movie which really is not worthy of being shown in the public, especially when depicting a scene like that. And one has to say that the makers of the movie clearly had a political statement to make. This is not just, let's try and escape to get as far away from reality as possible. This is clearly a political statement. So our Netflix is cancelled. That's it. And apparently we're not the only ones.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is how widespread is this approach? I mean, are a lot of people doing this?
I have heard anecdotally that there are other Israelis who've done the same. It's very, very difficult to understand exactly how many people have decided to cancel their subscriptions. Let's be real about this. Netflix have something like 250 million subscribers. So I don't feel that the Reich household subscription is going to be a drop in their ocean. But it was an important statement for us to make, to say we're not going to pay them money when this is the type of content that they feel is appropriate to put on their platform. Right. I hope that others will do the same. But again, you know, being realistic about this, I don't think that even if all of the Jews in the world decided to cancel their Netflix subscriptions, then it would necessarily have a significant impact on their income, or they might they may notice it, they may hear the political statement, but I'm not sure that it's going to make a huge difference one way or the other.
And was your family unanimous, as a matter of interest, in this decision?
We had a slight split in the family.
Right.
It wasn't a unanimous decision, because there is a contrary view which says this is just a platform for loading movies. And the contrary view actually, it's important for me to make this contrary view, which came from one of the members of the family. And he said to me that Netflix have actually put a lot of content on their platform which has positively depicted Israel. So why do you take exception to this one in particular? And he used the example of Fauda and the Red Sea Resort, which is a very fascinating movie, which I watched on Netflix as well, used those examples where he said, you know, that was really a positive depiction of Israel. And I said, well, I think that Fauda, while being a kind of a docudrama, was really not based on truth. I mean, there are a lot of truths within it, but I think that Fauda represented the good and the bad about the situation. I don't know that it was necessarily politically very one-sided. The Red Sea Resort was just a fascinating story that had to be told. And again, I don't think that it was really designed to make a political statement in favor of Israel one way or the other, but there certainly was a discussion that was held about the fact that there has been a lot of Netflix content which does do justice or does depict Israel in a slightly more positive light. And so why do we take exception to this one movie?
Right. Very, very interesting. I'd love your thoughts, please. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Further progress reported informing the government. Where are we at the moment?
Well, we're less than a week away from the expiry of the four-week time period that incoming Prime Minister Netanyahu has been given to form his government. We understand that he is lining up to request an extension of 2 weeks from the president to allow him an additional two-week period to get his government together. And we understand that the president is minded to grant that extension of 2 weeks to allow him to form the government. And in addition to that, we heard on Friday that the Likud and Netanyahu have agreed a coalition agreement with the Zionist Party headed up by Bezalel Smotrich. That follows on the wake in the wake of an agreement that was also reached by the Otzma Yehudit Party under Itamar Ben-Gvir. So those coalition agreements apparently have now been signed and sealed. We understand that Bezalel Smotrich will get the Ministry of Finance. He will become our new Minister of Finance when this government is finally put together, which should be in another couple of weeks from now, if all things work out. And apparently that will be a rotating Ministry of Finance, where after 2 years, he will then vacate the seat as the Minister of Finance. And that seat will theoretically be taken by the leader of the Shas party, Aryeh Deri, with whom no coalition agreement has yet been signed. And so that's just the way that the rumor mill is working right now, because that's not been signed, sealed, and delivered. But I think there are a few things which are coming out of these negotiations, the coalition discussions, which I think are interesting. The first of which is that it's noticeable to me that various bits of ministries are being taken out of the ministry and being made independent. So in the case of Bezalel Smotrich, he has been granted a little bit of what they're calling the ministry of works of some sort. He will have some control over what policies are reached around West Bank and what goes on in the West Bank. And that's a little piece that's taken from another ministry, has been separated out. It's been given a senior person to take on. In the similar way to the leader of the Noam party was given also a piece of a ministry that came out of the education ministry, I think has been put under the prime minister's office, and he will take over the job in order to run a certain piece of what used to be another ministry. And so in a sense, there's very much a divide and conquer process going on here, where bits and pieces are taken out, a little bit of the defense ministry here. Apparently, Smotrich will get a little piece of defense ministry. He'll get a little bit of, from here and from there. These bits will be taken out of their existing homes, and they will be given a separate person to run them and different responsibilities. And that is this method that Netanyahu is putting together in order to try and satisfy all of these people. And interestingly, in the case of the work that's being done to separate some of the education content that has been separated out from the education ministry and put under the prime minister's office, which will be under the leadership of somebody who has a very, very controversial credentials. And in fact, many of the local, this is Avi Maoz, of course, who is the leader of the Noam Party. He will have apparently certain responsibility for some educational content, special programs within schools. And already there have been 50 leaders of local authorities who've come out saying, we are not going to abide by whatever Avi Maoz comes out with, because he is anti-LGBTQ, he's anti-women's rights. And we're not going to abide by his programs. Our local authorities are going to fund separate programs within the schools that are not going to be driven by the government ministry that Avi Maoz is in charge of. And already 50 local authorities have announced that they will not be cooperating with these policies, a certain rebellious kind of approach coming out of that as a result of the way in which this government is being constructed. So what remains over the next 2 weeks in terms of government construction is that Netanyahu will need to reach agreements with the ultra-Orthodox parties, mm-hmm. the Shas party and the Yadut HaTorah party, in order to be able to construct his 54-seat coalition. It seems as if, though, it's quite likely that those agreements will finally be signed in the next 2 weeks. Right. But we are slowly progressing towards what seems to be quite a strange-looking government.
It really is working out to be very, very odd. But we'll certainly keep an eye on this story. Rockets were fired from Gaza on Saturday night.
So, yeah, there were two rockets that were fired from Gaza on Saturday night, which came as a little bit of a surprise, but perhaps not at such a surprise to those people who are familiar with what's happening within the security environment. And we understand that the rocket fire, which was fired from Gaza, came as a result of the arrest during the course of last week of a senior person within Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and as a result of which they decided to fire these rockets from Gaza on Saturday night. Of course, the IDF responded, as is currently still the policy, to respond to every single piece of rocket fire that comes from Gaza. And indeed, there was a response, and there were tunnels that were bombed and other targets that were hit by the IDF. What's interesting about what happened on Saturday night is, it seems to me, at least for the first time, that has been publicly made known, that anti-aircraft missiles were fired on Saturday night from Gaza towards Israeli aircraft. Now, not that it necessarily presented such a major threat to Israeli aircraft, which of course are very much equipped with all kinds of anti-missile systems in a very, very sophisticated way. But it does show the fact that the militants in Gaza are really progressing and developing in terms of the missiles that are at their disposal. And of course, this is a concerning trend, even though it doesn't necessarily present a direct threat right now to Israeli aircraft. But for the first time, we have a public announcement that anti-aircraft missiles were fired from Gaza. This is not just a joke of putting together a few pipe bombs and trying to light a flame underneath it. This is pretty sophisticated weaponry that's now come into the hands of militants within Gaza, and of course needs to be watched very, very carefully indeed. Interestingly, by the way, just as an aside, Qatar, which has a certain level of influence over Gaza due to the fact that they give significant sums of money, particularly to poor Gazans from time to time, with lots of money being shipped from Qatar to Gaza. And of course, we know that the World Cup is currently happening in Qatar. We understand that Qatar put out a special request to Hamas and to the Islamic militants in Gaza not to initiate rocket fire from Gaza during the period of the World Cup. A special request from Qatar. So far, it's kind of almost held because Saturday night was, I think, just a very, very specific case of some rocket fire and some response from the IDF. It didn't go further than that, but apparently Qatar has put out this special request.
It's just absolutely remarkable. And finally, President Herzog is visiting Bahrain and the UAE on an official visit.
So this is the first time that an Israeli president is officially visiting Bahrain. It's 3 years now, effectively, since the Abraham Accords were entered into, and Israel entered into this whole process of signing official peace agreements with Arab countries, with Muslim countries, with Middle Eastern countries in general. And for the very, very first time, the Bahraini king has hosted the Israeli prime minister. Hatikva was played at the presidential palace in Bahrain, which of course is an incredible thing. And by the way, for those people who are interested to think about this as a family kind of a thing, of course, President Herzog's late father, Chaim Herzog, also a former president of Israel, wrote in his book very, very movingly about experiences that he had when he was in Europe, in particular in the wake of the Shoah, as president of Israel, when he went to Germany, and how Hatikva was played when he landed, and how moved he was, how emotional he became listening to Hatikva being played in the land which hated Jews so much, and so much happened. He wrote about that in his book, and it's certainly something that's worth reading. And here we have his son, President Isaac Herzog, going to Bahrain and hearing Hatikva for the first time at the palace in Bahrain. Very moving moment indeed.
Indeed. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.